We're in luck.
Bubbles inched backwards around the corner, fighting her terror of the blackness.
Light!
It flared too brightly in the dark goggles. Bubbles tore them away and stared. Rafa had found an old-fashioned candle lantern and the striker to light it. Without the goggles, it lit the space around them only dimly, yet it felt so much better. That warm flame, the color of afternoon sunlight. Bubbles tried to breathe slowly and calmly and felt her body gradually relax. They were hidden. They had light. They were, after all, alive.
Do you think it's safe?
In daylight, certainly. They can't see a little light like this around the corner, not after being out in real daylight. At night, they'd still have to put their heads through that vine curtain and maybe see sparkles on the water.
Rafa put the lantern back on the stone shelf it had come from. Bubbles saw there the other evidence of Kell's occupation, his initials carved into the stone above the ledge, a row of seashells and colored stones, a tangle of wire leaders, coils of fishing line and some fish hooks, and a pile of wooden blocks, all daubed with white painted numbers and lengths of twine with lead weights attached.
I wonder what that's all about. They look like bobbers for fishing, but why so many? And why numbered?
Rafa, meanwhile, was exploring the space below.
Look at this. A sleeping bag or something soft, anyway. My aching bones will appreciate that.
I wish I knew if the water was safe. We still have some, but
we could look for dead fish.
Rafa picked up the candle lantern again and carried it to the water's edge. When she held it low, Bubbles could see how clear the water was, how pale and unappealing the bottom. Something almost colorless fled through the edge of the light.
Fish. My aunt's caves had some pools with fish like this. No color, shy of light.
So it's probably not poisoned, if these fish are susceptible to the same poison.
So you do pay attention in class sometimes. Maris claims she had to spoon-feed you all your answers to the exams.
Maris couldn't tell the truth if she were being interrogated under truth serum by the Imperium. I don't mind learning things, but, you know how it is.
Never show how smart you are, dears, or someone will envy you. And then we are supposed to show how rich and prominent our families are. As if no one would envy that.
In the faint glow of the lantern, Bubbles could not quite read the expression that Rafa turned to her.
Do you mind if I ask something?
No. While we're hiding in a cave from people who want to kill us, I think your questions are not going to be that threatening.
Why do you let them call you Bubbles?
Oh, that. I'm sorry. That's a long story. And well suited to this place, I guess. You have brothers and cousins, though. You'll understand. The fashion for old Earth, North European great names, was at its height. You know, we're all stuck with things like Sicily and Marilis and, oh, Guinevere. Your Raffaella is actually pretty, but some of them, oh.
Like my cousin Boethia Evangeline and my brother Archibald Ferdinand.
Right. Well, Mother had finally come over to fashion, after reasonably naming Gary and Tig, Buttons got stuck with Bertram, Harold, Sivola. I really think they made a mistake there. Sivola doesn't sound British to me, but Mother said it was an important name in history somewhere. Then I came along. You promise you won't tell?
Tell whom? The hunters? Don't be ridiculous.
All right. Brunhilde Charlotte.
What?
Brunhilde Charlotte. Now, you don't have to make a production out of it. Anyway, Buttons is only 2 years older, and when they told him he had a baby sister named Brunhilde, he could only say Bubba. My mother thought it was cute. She liked the idea of a little girl called Bubbles. And then I turned out blonde, and Champagne Bubbles became the family form of Brunhilde Charlotte. They all thought it was cute. I was only a baby, Rafa. I didn't know what they were setting me up for.
So you sort of lived out the Bubbles persona? Like Dr. Fisher Wong in psych class says happens.
Well, some children are naturally cheerful and
bubbly, I know. But You're not the fluff head you act like sometimes, and you haven't been acting like a pile of bubbles on this little jaunt.
No. Well, to be honest, I've been getting tired of bubbles myself. But look at the alternative. Brunhilde? What kind of a name is that?
Brun isn't bad as a short form. Wonder what it meant.
For all I know, Brunhilde is the old Earth equivalent of Bubblehead. But it sounds better and better the more people snicker at bubbles. I should have changed it years ago. But my cousin Kel, the one who found this cave, he was just the sort to make nasty jokes. He gave me so much grief about bubbles, I pretended to like it, just to blunt the point.
You could use Charlotte. Shara. That's not bad. Or Brun.
Well, that decision won't matter if we don't survive, and we won't survive without water. So the next step, I think, is to check it out.
With your portable chemistry kit, of course.
With Kel's portable chemistry kit. The one on the shelf that you didn't recognize.
But the little bottles and tubes were all empty. Their contents no more than a few dried grains of unrecognizable grit.
With our brains, we can think it out. It's safe for the cave fish. They're alive.
Alive now?
Yes, and that's all we can go on. They're swimming normally. They're not gasping or floating. And that means...
Look, whatever it was had to be pretty quick. Not more than a day. Because Petrus told us they'd never bothered the water. That flyover could have dropped the poison or set someone down to do it afoot. So if one of us drinks here and nothing happens in a day, then this water's safe.
I'll drink. It's my island. Maybe it will just put me to sleep or something.
Or only make you throw up once. You're a gutsy wench. And you shouldn't be stuck with Bubbles one day longer. Take your pick, Brun or Shara.
Bubbles sat back on her heels.
Well, I'm used to the bee. Let's try Brun. If I hate it tomorrow, no one else ever needs to know.
If she died of poison, no one would ever know. Bubbles shoved that thought away.
Good for you, Brun. Now, how can we do the hunters the most harm?
Ronnie could not tell whether the pounding in his head was from the concussion or excitement.
There! I told you, we should have put our trap on the creek itself.
Ronnie wanted to say shut up, but the person at the creek might hear. Instead, he touched George's wrist, a sharp tap.
Let's follow. Maybe we can take him.
Wait! The spring's not that far away. He may come back and spring the trap.
He ought to be more careful.
We too.
After an interminable period, they heard sounds returning. The same hunter? Another whose planned route had crossed his? One of Petrus's men? Ronnie didn't know. His neck prickled. He felt that someone was looking at him, that he was outlined by a spotlight. He blinked hard. No spotlight, nothing but darkness. Whoever it was coming down slope stayed in the water for the most part. He moved faster, as most people do going downhill, and as if he could see his way. He passed their position, still moving downstream, and did not turn aside along his former path. Apparently, he was going to follow the stream all the way down.
This is stupid. If we stay here...
Ronnie's control broke. He grabbed George's mouth and dug his fingernails into his lips.
The idea is to stay alive. Be quiet.
He let go as quickly as he'd grabbed, and they spent the remaining hours of darkness in icy silence, both furious. They heard no cries, nor anything that let them know what was happening.